This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. In 1955, 67-year-old Emma Gatewood became the first woman to hike the entirety of the more than 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail. Before her, only a handful of men had completed the journey. Ben Montgomery has traced that walk that Emma Gatewood did in the new book, Grandma Gatewood's Walk, and he joins me now to talk about it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you are actually related to Emma Gatewood.
She's my mother's great aunt.
And how did you find out about her?
I grew up hearing stories from my mother, bedtime stories, fantastical stories about this eccentric woman finding her way along the Appalachian Trail at the age of 67. I was always interested, but finally got the opportunity to take a deep look at her life.
I guess the first question is, she's a 67-year-old woman. Why did her family let her do this?
She did not tell them. She told them that she was going on a walk and disappeared for all intents and purposes. They didn't hear from her until she reached Roanoke, Virginia, which is about 800 miles away from what was then the southern terminus of the Appalachian Trail, Mount Oglethorpe in northern Georgia. She got caught by a newspaper reporter who was going to report the story of her hike in the Roanoke paper, and she decided she better let her children know where she was and what she was up to. So she dropped a postcard in the mail back to them in Ohio saying, when I said I was going on a walk, I meant I'm trying to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail.
And this isn't like, you know, I mean, one might imagine that if the Appalachian Trail is in your backyard just down the road, that maybe jumping on it and say, I'm going to walk it, would be a little less surprising. But she had to fly from Ohio to Atlanta. She said, get on a plane to get to the start of her walk.
Sure enough, she'd been turned on to the trail by one of the first feature stories about the trail in National Geographic in an issue from 1949, which she came across in a doctor's office. And she couldn't get the trail out of her head. She didn't start her hiking until 1954, in which she failed and nearly died in the woods. This was a southbound hike she took, starting at Mount Katahdin in Maine. And she only made it about 3 or 4 days along the trail before she ran out of food and got lost and laid down really to sort of die before deciding to get up and try to find her way back. But she still couldn't shake the image she had of the trail. And so she tried again. She didn't tell anyone about that failed attempt and tried again the next year, and of course was successful.
And the other interesting thing, I mean, besides all of the physical requirements this takes, she didn't have that much money. So actually gathering the money to go and do this and get on buses and airplanes and all, was a big deal.
Sure enough, she was living off Social Security and had a part-time job. She decided to save up for the trail, and she saved roughly $200, which is all she took with her. But again, it was one of those things that when she became conscious of the trail, it would not let her go. And she secretly would journey into the woods in southeastern Ohio to try to test herself against nature, to see what material she might need to survive on her own in the wilderness. I should also say she probably didn't have an accurate picture of the Appalachian Trail when she set out. The National Geographic story I mentioned painted a very rosy picture of the trail. It suggested one of moderate physical condition would be able to hayfoot, strawfoot from Georgia to Maine. And, you know, it described a trail as wide as a Mack truck with places to sleep pretty much anywhere you decided to bed down. And she found a very different trail up and over 300 mountains. There weren't places to get a bite to eat. She was basically unprepared. She didn't bring a tent or a sleeping bag. She brought a shower curtain to use as a rain tarp and a heavy army coat, and that was pretty much it.
Will you describe what she looked like?
She was a relatively short, heavy-set woman. She was tanned and wrinkled, and her hands were calloused from years of working on her Ohio farm right alongside the men. Her feet were a sight to behold. She had giant marble-sized bunions with veins running up her legs that sort of looked like a map. She was not... She had spent a lifetime working on the farm. So she bore this sort of rugged farm woman's disposition.
And when she gets on the trail, you've already mentioned this, that she had nothing, basically. I mean, we think about people setting out to hike the Appalachian Trail today. I went on the Appalachian Trail for literally 2 hours, 2 months ago, and I had a backpack full of things that was so much more than what this woman had. But she gets there, she has nothing, and she's walking along sucking on bouillon cubes and praying that she can find, like, a wild strawberry.
That's right. She knew how to survive in the wild. So she ate wild berries. She ate something called sorrel, which is an edible grass that actually doesn't taste half bad. But nuts, berries, foraging for food, the bouillon cubes, as you mentioned. And then the rest of the time, she relied heavily on the what's called now trail magic, but it's basically the kindness of strangers who lived along the trail and would often, after hearing her story, invite her in to have a home-cooked meal. And several of them sent her off the next day with sandwiches or fried chicken, you know, something to sustain her for a little while longer.
And you mentioned earlier that her children had no idea where she was. They knew she was kind of she was tough, and so it wouldn't surprise them that she was taking a walk, but they had no idea what she was doing. And it takes 5 weeks for people to get wind of her journey. Why was she so wary of the press?
She was concerned, first of all, that someone might try to stop her. After her failed attempt in 1954, when she laid down and she wrote in her diary, if I'm going to die, this is as good a place as any, and really sort of resigned herself to death before she caught sort of a second wind and decided to try to find her way out of the wilderness in Maine. But when she arrived back to the ranger station, she found four men who had been looking for her with an airplane playing horseshoes, and they said, "What are you doing out here? This is no place for a 66-year-old woman." And they told her, "Go home, Grandma." And she was embarrassed by that, and she didn't tell anyone what she had been up to. So when she planned for her next trip, she didn't want anybody to try to stop her, and so she didn't reveal where she was going or what her intentions were.
What happens when she makes it to Katahdin in Maine?
She leaves two reporters who had been following her progress, one from the United Press and one from Sports Illustrated magazine, at the bottom of the mountain. And she leaves before sun up. And it was icy, and there was sleet falling, and she had found a pair of gloves on the trail, and she loaded up with every piece of clothing she could find and climbed the mountain in solitude. And if you know anything about Mount Katahdin, it is even with the trail system and even, you know, with all the rangers and whatnot, it remains this wilderness that is a sight to behold. Thoreau said, you know, man does not belong here. This is God's territory. And, you know, there's little to no vegetation up there. It is a barren landscape. And she makes it to the top in solitude, in the rain, almost gets blown off the side of the mountain. She's hiking with only one lens in her glasses, and that lens keeps fogging over. She achieved her goal and reached the top at Baxter's Peak and said to no one, "I did it. I said I'd do it, and I've done it." And she sang the first verse of America the Beautiful and decided to get in out of the inclement weather and turned around and hiked back down.
Well, it is an amazing story. Thank you so much for talking to me about it.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Ben Montgomery is the author of Grandma Gatewood's Walk. You can find out more about his book on our website, wunc.org. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.